In a few minutes, we'll examine one of the great misconceptions of who pays to help with old age. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. This is a big week for big stores to report their spring into summer financial results. JCPenney's expected to report another quarter of losses. Macy's on Wednesday and Walmart on Thursday are both predicted to deliver solid profits, though perhaps not quite as strong as this time last year. There are challenges given the long economic expansion will not last forever and tariffs, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Consumer spending has been tapering off since last year as the boost from tax cuts and strong wage gains fades. Now comes President Trump's latest threat in the trade war to slap 10% tariffs on Chinese consumer goods beginning September 1st. Retailers will pass those costs on to consumers in the form of higher prices, says Mark Cohen at Columbia University.
The laws of demand are almost as irrefutable as the laws of gravity. When prices go up, demand goes down.
That drop in demand will hurt department stores and big box retailers that sell a lot of discretionary items, says Camilla Yanishevsky at CFRA Research.
For something like apparel, furniture, consumer electronics, people are willing to put off those purchases when the price hikes go in.
She says consumer brands are trying to move production out of China to Vietnam, India, and Thailand to avoid tariffs and price hikes, but it'll take time to make the switch. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Checking financial markets, London's FTSE stock index is down 0.8%. Dow and S&P futures here are each down 0.3%. We've also been covering very low interest rates in America, with the 10-year yield today down at 1.65%. The yield on the 30-year Treasury is nearly at an all-time low as investors seek a safe place to park their money amid trade war tensions and fears of slowing growth, perhaps even a recession. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has been following the bond market and is here for an update. Tracy, why are these rates so low?
So this is what traders would call a risk-off market. Basically, investors are nervous about what's ahead for the global economy. Those trade tensions you mentioned, concern about slowing growth in Europe and around the world, expectations that the central banks might need to cut interest rates further in the year ahead. And when investors get nervous, there's no safer place to turn than U.S. Treasuries. So lots of demand for bonds pushes their price up and yields down.
And notably, we've been seeing yields fall faster for the longer duration bonds, right?
Right. So the 30-year Treasury is so close to an all-time low set back in July 2016. The 10-year Treasury is near a 3-year low. Basically, as investors buy more and more of these long-term bonds and their yields fall, the long-term yields get closer to the yields on short-term bonds, like a 2-year or a 6-month bond. So if you think about it, you should be getting a higher return when you lend the government your money for a longer period of time. It's longer that you don't have access to that money. You want to account for inflation. The fact that these yields are converging, it signals that investors are expecting much slower growth, maybe even a recession.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson with a teachable moment there.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
According to one estimate, by the time a person hits 65, chances are about 50-50 they'll need to pay someone to help them with their daily care. Long-term health insurance has long existed, but as costs to providing the care went up, so did the premiums for that kind of insurance. This might be for in-home care or nursing home care. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, who covers this beat, sees some movement on this issue, and he joins us from St. Paul. Hi there.
Good morning, David.
Long-term care with an aging population, what are we talking about?
So this is the catchphrase for providing support and services to people who can't perform, you know, basic activities on their own. And long-term care is absolutely critical for, you know, people who are dealing with a severe chronic illness or dementia, Alzheimer's. Although long-term care is obviously important for people as they age, there are many people dealing with disabilities who are younger.
One would think that Medicare would offer this as a benefit.
Medicare covers very few long-term care costs, but no, the long-term care option, the public option, is Medicaid.
But isn't that for low-income people?
Here's the problem. With Medicaid, you have to be poor. We do have a private long-term care insurance industry, but it's been shrinking. So as a country, what we rely on are working-age family members to provide long-term care. And boy, those family members are financially and emotionally stressed out.
The presidential campaign has begun, you will have noticed. And some of the candidates have noticed this issue is one that may need addressing.
Absolutely. So early in the year, Bernie Sanders, with his Medicare for All, his signature issue, he expanded it to include long-term care. And then you've had some other candidates like Cory Booker and Amy Klobuchar. They've also put forward proposals.
How might the Booker or Klobuchar plans differ?
What Cory Booker is proposing is to loosen the qualification rules for Medicaid. He also wants to take the earned income tax credit and expand that so that it would help out family caregivers. And Klobuchar, she wants to expand Medicare-covered services to include things like Alzheimer's and dementia. And she also has several tax credits that would help families offset, boy, these expenses that are associated with long-term care.
What about the present occupant of the White House? I haven't heard much on this topic from the administration.
No, it's not a priority. Howard Gleckman, he's a senior fellow at the Urban Institute. He says very quietly, and that's a quote, the administration is pulling together some proposals, largely to revive the private long-term care insurance markets.
Proposals like mad here. Any of this actually going to become policy, you think?
Long-term care is being discussed on the campaign trail. If you're going to reform the United States healthcare system, you have to include long-term care.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
There is news this morning that small business confidence, as measured by the National Association of Independent Business, rose in July. Part of that is an index of uncertainty among small businesses, which has now dropped after spiking in June. About a fifth of businesses surveyed plan to increase hiring, suggesting 79% do not plan to increase hiring. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.